crisis. How to solve any crisis. Mary Baker Eddy did not give us a system of divine metaphysics that is unique for one problem only. Just as the system of mathematics with its laws and rules and principle is applicable to any mathematical problem, and the same with music. In fact, music is heavily embedded with mathematics. The principle, the laws, the rules of music apply no matter what kind of music you're playing. The system of divine metaphysics from 146 in Science and Health, starting at line 31, states the following. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. There is no clue that it is unique only for a particular kind of a problem. It doesn't matter whether it is mental, physical, whether it is individual, collective, universal, whether it is obvious or whether it's latent, conscious or unconscious, it applies to every situation that anyone could ever be faced with, period. No exceptions. Frankly, I do not understand how anyone can really practice Christian Science and be oblivious to this very important statement and not desire to educate themselves on it and practice it and use it on a daily basis with everything in their life. It makes absolutely no sense. It is in chapter 6, which is entitled Science, Theology, and Medicine, and it is under the section for science. How more clear can she be? Now, she doesn't give us the clues on the details about the science of divine metaphysics, and she states in various places that science is too vast to include a circumference. The center is God, and his highest idea is man. But she puts no limits on the further development of the system of divine metaphysics. It appears that the most advanced in developing and making clear the system of divine metaphysics is Rolf Witzke. That's W-I-T-Z-S-C-H-E. It is far more advanced than anyone else has discovered. His publications at this time are available on our website. It includes very extensive diagrams and exhibits of various kinds to fully describe his latest discoveries about what Mary Baker Eddy refers to on page 146. There's only one system. How much of it anyone understands is directly proportional to the time they invest in studying it and practicing it, utilizing it in all thought, speech, and action on a daily basis with everything in their life. Christian Science is not something to spend a few minutes a day on and perhaps attend a church service or two a week, but it is something that you have to make a part of your being. In fact, you have to let it be your being. One must get self out of the way and let this be their guide to everything. There are approximately 150 treatments that are available from the website, and all of them touch at least partially, if not very extensively, on the system of divine metaphysics. A map diagram is being provided because there are a lot of categories and subcategories that are involved in letting the system guide you to bring about a healing. That's the object, and of course the way to do it is to improve your spirituality. And your spirituality will guaranteed to be improved if you follow the system. Because the system is based on the four operators of the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, and embedded in those operators are the seven synonymous terms for God, which is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And all of our treatments will have a variety of the levels that are included, which are more fully described on page 115 and 116 of Science and Health. There are three levels of mortal mind, and one which is the absolute, which is God, and his idea man. And that's the spiritual man, the generic man, which includes all male and female qualities which are normally attributed to only one of those genders. But generic man includes everything. And the only universe that is involved is the universe of spirit, which means that is the substance, which means there is no matter therein. The statement that was referred to on 146, Science and Health, indicates that the divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system. So let's look at this system and see how it can be utilized by getting self out of the way and applying it to something which is extremely critical to the future of the United States and to many countries, all of the countries in Europe, and many other countries that have fallen for this fraud of open borders, which means you want to forget the identity of your country. And there is no country if there's no identity. The identity has always been based on the foundation, which is freedom and Christianity, and not necessarily in that order, because it's freedom of ability to choose what you want as a religion and be able to practice it without interference. And that has not been the case for a very long time in America. So let's look at this system and see how we can let it be our guide to bring about the healing from the winds of evil that are coming across the border, both in the north and the south, and the oceans, the east and the west. It's coming to us from all sides with terrorists, drug addicts, and as bad as those things sound, the worst is yet to come, which I haven't stated, but it is full child trafficking and Satanism. That is the biggest evil of our day. And it's big. The entire government is involved in augmenting it, promoting it, not prosecuting people that are involved in it. Our agencies, the judicial agencies, are totally involved in it. The cartels at both the north, south, east, and west are totally involved. They're paying off whoever they have to pay off to turn the other way. Unelected people are running this country. What can we do about it? This is a crisis. Let's look at the system and see what we can do about it. The first thing that must be followed is recognition. And I've provided a diagram, as mentioned, so it's easy for you to see where we are in the big picture. So what do I mean by recognition? Well, what we need to recognize is both the truth and the error. The truth is called the Word. That is the facts about God. And it's brought out to us by John Morgan that we cannot even think about approaching what God is until we have a severe, dedicated, consecrated hunger for it. Because you cannot even get a concept of what God is unless you already recognize that you are fed up with the belief of life, truth, and intelligence being in sin, sickness, and death, matter, mortal mind, mesmerism, hypnotism, all the other isms and ologies. So we have to come to a desperate time in our life before we can even begin to understand God, before we can even approach the subject, because it is based on spirit. And unless we're fed up with matter, we're not interested in spirit. We might be interested in giving up the pain that is involved if we are in a sickness or on a deathbed, but we're not interested in giving up what is so-called pleasure about all the material sensations. And there's no sanctity anymore, even about marriage. And our high divorce rate is a direct symbol of that problem. Both male and female are out there having promiscuous activities. We can't begin to approach God if that's what we're doing. We have to realize that there's no future in that and be willing to look at some alternatives. And the number one and the only one that is of value is God. God is, as mentioned, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Mind includes such things as creative ability, intelligence, capacity, capability, wisdom, knowing. And if you couple those things with action, you get performance. And if you get performance, then you have power. Mary Baker Eddy says, the only power obtainable is the good we do and embody. That means it is a part of us. It is part of our nature. We're living goodness. We're looking only for goodness. Mary Baker Eddy stopped several times a day to make sure that she was only on the track of goodness, that she wasn't looking at any kind of revenge or resentment or anything else. And boy, she had lots of reasons to, from a human standpoint, because her entire church was against her. The board of directors were against her. They fought her on everything, tooth and nail. And of course, as soon as she passed on, they immediately took her picture out of the book, the textbook of Christian Science, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. They blew up pyramids, statues, or one pyramid, and they blew up statues. They blew up anything that would remind anybody of her. They forbid the people that were living in her home, that were working on their CSD degree, Doctorate of Christian Science, to not even talk about her. And they were traitors to Mary Baker Eddy because they abided by this corruption, this fraud of the church. Like every other church, when there's money involved or an opportunity to control other people, boy, suckers. They're suckers for it. She gave instructions to one person to do something in particular when she passed on. He waited 35 years before he did it. Finally, when he was about ready to leave this entity called planet Earth, he finally did it. 35 years later. Can you imagine? So, If we're going to think about God, we have to be prepared to have a change of our consciousness from matter to spirit, period. Then, that is step number one, thinking about what God is, learning about what God is. And the synonyms are the way to learn because that is what defines God. And as anyone that knows anything about Christian Science knows, that if the words that I mentioned, those seven, of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, if they are capitalized, that means they refer to God. Any word that she capitalizes, unless it's a title referring to something else, means that it's God. She could call good God by capitalizing the word good. She could say the word father, the word mother, any number of things. If she capitalized it, it's referring to God. So what is the problem with the border? What is the problem with identity of the country? Well, one thing is that it's a belief that there's a separation between the source and the manifestation. God is the source. We are the manifestation. All existence is the manifestation. And in reality, all existence is of the substance of spirit, which means you cannot touch it. Now, you can touch symbols. You can see a beautiful tree. You can touch the trunk. You can touch the branches, the leaves, well, depending on how big it is and tall. But anyway, the point is that how about a flower, a beautiful rose, or a beautiful, any fragrant, beautiful thing from the garden? There are many fragrant shrubs and other vegetation besides just flowers that have a beautiful fragrance. Honeysuckle, how about that? Beautiful fragrance to honeysuckle. So we can see a lot of symbols that are expressing God, because God expresses himself through everything else. He expresses himself through man, you and me. He expresses himself through everything that exists, because everything that exists that is real is a symbol of goodness. It's a symbol of God. A beautiful sky, beautiful sunrise, beautiful sunset. Starring, gazing at the planets through a powerful telescope. And we see the beauty of all the things in the sky. Those are all symbols of the entire existence, which is of the substance of spirit. So, what's the deal with the border? That's one thing I mentioned was separation from God. Number two, not in particular priority, but a second thing, is that there is a belief of being displaced, that they have no place, that they are seeking a better place. Of course, that's if they're really coming here legally. Most of them are all coming here illegally, and they're seeking free stuff. You know, our corrupt government has promised them that they will give them food, shelter, and clothing, and a free debit card that will be recharged on a monthly basis, so they can live in a luxury hotel. Some of the luxury hotels have opened up to the migrants. You know, they probably tear them up because they have nothing invested in them, and it's all free stuff, and they don't work, so they get into mischief. They have nothing constructive that they do. So we have to understand that there is only one place, and that is the correct place, the right place. And it has to be in conformity with respect for other people. And if they're coming across the border illegally, they have no respect for themselves, and they have no respect for those people that are here legally. I'll say they are paid to vote for one group of corrupt politicians. So we have to think about their mind. The mind of man is a mind of the substance of spirit, which is flawless, because spirit includes being flawless, being transparent, and being reflective. These guys are not interested in being honest. They're not interested in being transparent. They want to get something free because that's what has been advertised to bring them across the border in order to corrupt the whole country. The motive of bringing them across the border is to destroy America. What is America? America is a symbol of freedom and Christianity. The first thing they did many years ago was to take the God, the word God, and the commandments off of all of the court buildings. They were always on the court building. I'm surprised that you swear on the Bible. I don't know whether they're still doing it or not. I haven't been in court, but, you know, Pledge Allegiance to the flag in the schools, that's been removed. They've got the dirtiest, worst, immoral things in the textbooks of the schools. They are teaching the children as young as 3, 4, 5 years old that they can be whatever they want. If they want to be a girl, doesn't matter that they were born a boy. They can be a girl. They can go in the girls' room. If they're a girl, they can be a boy. If they want to go on a girls' sports team, they can be a boy. And just say that they want to be a girl, and so they're on the girls' sports team. You know, that's being dishonest. You know, boys are born with more muscles. And so they're competing with, you know, with females. So we've got to think about placement. You know, what is man's right place? What is man's right activity? It certainly should be a wholesome activity that benefits everyone. It should not be dishonest. It should not be immoral. So we've got to think about the only man there is, the real man, is the man that is moral, which of course includes honesty, and is not looking for something for nothing. That is desirous of contributing wherever he is. How about the golden rule? We should be thinking about man is a advocate of the golden rule because we want to be treated with a certain amount of respect. We want to have people respect what our choice is of various things, religion. How about freedom of speech? Freedom of speech means that we should be able to criticize somebody if they are doing something that is against the population. Now, criticizing is not a good quality, so a better way to approach it is to talk the truth. Mary Baker Eddy didn't criticize people, she just told the truth. When people accused her of not praying, she didn't criticize them. She didn't pursue resentment or anything evil to someone else. What she did is merely stated the truth. The same as Jesus. When the so-called devil tried to tempt him on 3 different things, you know, he didn't argue with the devil. When Herod was in trial with Herod, he didn't criticize Herod. He just didn't talk to him. He just stated the truth. He said, say yea, yea, and nay, nay. Don't argue. Mary Baker Eddy says we shouldn't go to bed without having our conscience clear and having everything on a positive note. Don't go to bed angry. Don't go to bed thinking about the evil of somebody. As I mentioned, she stopped several times a day to do a reality check for herself to make sure that she was following the standard of the golden rule. Okay, so that's the first thing. We have to recognize what God is. The second thing is, we've already started talking about, but it is called the Christ, and that is translating anything that is evil and reversing that thought and staking a claim on what is perfect. So in other words, we redirect our thought from evil to good. That doesn't mean that we say, okay, evil is good. What it means is we don't focus on the evil, but we focus on the real man. We don't focus on the one that is in Genesis 2, which says we were born a sinner. And that's what most churches preach, that we're born a sinner. You don't preach that if you're working in the system of divine metaphysics, because you're working in divinity. You're talking about God. You're thinking about God's man. You're not thinking about man's man, which is of the result of a male and a female getting together and producing an offspring. That is man's man. That is born out of sin, because the very act of creating that is a sinful act. It is not based on spirit. Anything that is not based on spirit is sinful. And that certainly is not based on spirit. It's based on matter. It's based on emotion. It's based on everything that it's based on is evil. It's based on things that are creating an emotion or a feeling, which is producing an artificial pleasure. And, of course, that's one of the things that corrupt people use to try to make people become evil, is they entice them with things that are producing a personal pleasure in hopes that the person will be weak and will yield to the temptations. Well, the devil didn't get Jesus to yield to any of the temptations. He could control the world, the devil told him. He wasn't interested in controlling the world. He was interested in promoting Christianity, in promoting God as the one and only reality. So that's what the Christ is about. It's translating whatever is presented to us as a problem into the solution by translating from a thought of matter to a thought of an offspring of God, which is spirit, or an event, or an activity of any kind whatsoever. It is converting our thinking, just like Jesus, when he would see a sick person along the wayside when he was walking or riding a mule or whatever, he would think about them not as someone that was blind or deaf or dumb or leprous or dead or whatever, but thinking about them as the real man, the generic man, the man that includes both the love and compassion and caring that a woman normally is supposed to be presenting, and the strength and courage and intelligence and so forth that are normally contributed to male qualities. In other words, it's the complete individual. Generic man is the complete individual, which is expressing all of the qualities that exist. Doesn't matter whether you attribute them to a child or an adult or a man or a woman, male or female, doesn't matter. If they are good qualities, then they are something that we need to be cultivating and promoting and thinking about other people in that same way. So we can't be thinking that they're out of place and they're now seeking a new home illegally and causing big problems for the people that are here legally. We can't be thinking about them being separated from God, but that they are connected to God, the real man, not the one that is causing all the problems, but we've got to see the real man. And if we focus on the real man, then everything around us blends in with our thoughts, because our thoughts, if they're good, are going to be reflected out into the atmosphere, producing good thoughts for others to reflect. If we are producing evil thoughts, then that's going to be out there as a temptation for others to follow. Just like Jesus, when he saw someone, I think it was Bartimaeus, and he said his disciples couldn't heal him. And he said, well, who did sin, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither. He said, the purpose of this is for us to glorify God. In other words, we are supposed to be involved in bringing about the healing, and that is glorifying God, because it's saying that God is number one. God is more powerful than any belief in matter or defect or anything else about an individual. So Jesus didn't focus on the evil. He immediately rebuffed it, gave it no power, no sense of reality, no home to get into his consciousness, and then he focused on God. That's what the Christ is. That's why Jesus was called the Christ, because he was so good at it. It was like calling somebody Mr. or you know, whatever title that you want to give to somebody. If they got a PhD degree in physics or whatever, you know, you call them doctor because they have a PhD degree. Or if they're the president of a company, you could call them Mr. President, or the president of the United States, Mr. President. It's a title. It's a title because they've earned it. Well, I don't know, maybe they were elected and they didn't do anything. Maybe they're put in there in a fraud. Then I would not call them president. I wouldn't. Maybe you would. Okay, so that's the first two parts of the operators. Just like math has add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Well, the addition is adding to your thought the qualities of God. The subtraction is taking away the belief of whatever is you're faced with and turning it around and making your thought be disciplined to be thinking about God. So you're subtracting out the evil and you're adding in the positive, the truth. Okay? Now, what is multiplying? Multiplying is taking that truth and demonstrating. And that's called Christianity. In other words, it's living the Christ. It's proving and demonstrating that the Christ translation that you did was correct. That means you had to understand something about God, which is the Word, all the facts about God, you know, about Him being mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Now, by the way, I'll just give you a brief thing on what these other synonymous terms mean. And I already mentioned spirit, and I already mentioned mind. And the next one is soul, and soul is sense. Now, what kind of sense is it? If the only substance is spirit, then the only sense has to be spiritual sense. So that means our seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling all has to be based on a spiritual basis. Spiritual. We need to be seeing spiritual things, not digging up all the dirt we can find on someone. We've got to be thinking about spiritual things. That's our duty. Being a child of God, being an offspring of God, being the manifestation of God, being God's highest idea, we need to be thinking about perfection, about goodness. We have to be seeing good. We have to be listening for the good. We have to be... There was a fellow that went to that lived in the woods, and he was convinced to come into the big city. So he went to the city. He was invited to go to a party. He went to a party. All kinds of noise and commotion. And he said, oh, there's a cricket. You see, in amongst all of that noise, which of course could be considered evil or matter, he heard the cricket. See, that was good. The goodness. He was, no matter all the stuff that was going on, he focused in on listening and he heard a cricket. And sure enough, he walked over to one of the windows where the cricket was, picked it up and brought it over and held it in his hand to show the people, this is what I was hearing. He was not listening to the problem, the noise and the commotion and everything that was so different than what he enjoyed living out in the woods. He listened for the good. That's what we need to be doing. Now, maybe there's some good that could come from people that are coming across the border, but it should all be legal. Okay, maybe they can provide some labor that locals don't want to provide. Maybe they would do it at a lower price and still be happy. But they need to be legal. Illegals don't solve any problem. Mary Baker Eddy says we need to abide by the local law. And if you don't like it, then be involved in changing it. but we need to abide by the local law. Okay, the third item that we're talking about, which is Christianity, is taking the concept of God, translating it, and then proving that we did the translation properly. And if we did it properly, then we will have a spiritual advancement, and spiritual advancement means we're going to have a spiritual healing. Jesus didn't use drugs. He didn't smoke or drink. He didn't use profanity. Are we going to model our life after Jesus? Mary Baker Eddy said he was the most perfect man that ever walked on the globe. In fact, she said he's also the most scientific because he understood the science of what he was doing, but he did not explain it. And that was the duty for Mary Baker Eddy to do. She discovered the science behind the healings of Jesus. Okay, so that is what Christianity is. It is living the Christ. Living the Christ consciousness. We should work toward being the man of God, not the man of man. We want to be the man of God. We want to be letting the goodness and perfection of God flow through us in every thought, speech, and action. Okay, so that's the soul, spiritual senses. Seeing, listening for good, everything we do, all the senses, we want to make sure that we're focusing on spirit. I visited a longtime friend of mine that she was a practitioner. And they were watching the Olympics when I arrived at their home, which was prearranged. And she said, would you like to watch them? And so certainly I did. And gymnastics was on. It was summer Olympics. And the lady was moving with such tremendous grace. And that's exactly what my friend said. She said, look at the grace that girl is showing us. It was so smooth and graceful. She was looking at qualities. She told me one time, qualities, qualities, qualities. Everything is qualities. Well, that's what God is. God is qualities. God is not physical, not something you can touch. God isn't something that got crucified and going to come back a second time in the flesh. These guys don't even read the Bible. It's very clear in the Bible that that's not the case. He himself said he would send a comforter. That is divine science. That is what Christian science is, the comforter. It's in the textbook. It gives you all that you need to know in order to have a better life and to be a positive influence on everybody that you're around. Whomever your thought rests upon will be benefited by our own individual spiritual advancement. Okay, principle is the next one. Principle is system and structure, and it's obviously harmonious. If you have things structured, it's harmonious and it's balanced. It's not like having an empty closet and you just throw everything in there and it's on the floor. So if you need something, you go in there and you dig through this big pile of stuff, unorganized, and maybe you will and maybe you won't find what you're looking for. Well, that's not principle. That's not system and structure. System and structure is balanced and it's harmonious. It's self-operating. It is the foundation of everything. Principle. That is the laws and rules of everything. Okay, life is the next one, and life is living the Christ. That's what Christianity is. Christianity is living the Christ. Life is living the Christ. It is living the qualities of God, being a representative of God, letting God manifest itself through us. And we can do that if we get ourselves out of the way. We can have a beautiful spiritual life. We will be wanting to help anyone we can. we are going to want to be expressing all the spiritual qualities that we can think of. And, of course, the best individual is one that is the most humble. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. I mean, in those days, the feet were probably really dirty because they had open sandals and they were walking on dirt roads. That's why it was a great sign of courtesy to wash the people's feet when they came to visit you. That's why Mary Magdalene washed Jesus' feet, because it was a sign of humility. She had recognized who Jesus was. He was the Christ. And she bought expensive oil to clean and lubricate his feet with, and dried it with the hairs of her head. The hair is representative of ideas, infinite ideas. There's so many hairs. Infinite ideas is the symbolism. Okay, what is truth? By the way, life is considered the symbol for fatherhood. Truth is the symbol for sonship. And that means that that's Christ Jesus. He was the symbol for sonship, the Son of God. He wasn't just the Son of Man, he was the Son of God, because God was his guide. So truth. Truth is the opposite of error. We can't make mistakes and be following truth. If we make a mistake in mathematics or in music, we need to correct it. How do we correct it? By getting rid of it and replacing it with the truth. You can't replace a sour note with a good note without, in other words, you don't try to correct the sour note, you get rid of it and replace it with the harmonious note in a chord, for example, in a composition. So that is truth. It's being on the straight and narrow. It's like if you're building a house, you use tools to make sure you have the right angle on whatever you're doing. Okay, if it's straight up and down, you're going to make sure it's plumb. They call it a plumb line. It's going to be exactly 90 degrees. It's not going to be 89.999. It's going to be 90. So truth is consciousness also. In other words, our consciousness should be filled with the truth. That's the symbolism for truth, is consciousness. And also motive is a symbol for truth. So we have to know that the people that are coming across our border have the right motive. We have to know that man, not an individual, we've got to get our thought off of individuals. We have to get our thought off of the problem. We have to talk about the truth. And man, being part of truth, is going to do the right thing. They're going to have the right motive. And if we have the right motive and way we're thinking about them, that will reflect upon the problem. And it will dissolve the problem. If everybody in the United States was using this kind of thinking that is expressed in this treatment, do you think we'd have a problem at the border? No one would even want to come here without being following the legal method to do it. We'd have the brightest, most intelligent people in the world that would want to live here. Why? Because they would have freedom of speech. They would have freedom of religion. They would be able to be paid for their efforts and not be taxed away by a government that was illegal. You know, income tax, they're not even legal. They're not even legal. There's not supposed to be any taxation without representation. They don't ask us if we want the taxes raised. Are you kidding me? Ha! Not a chance. Okay, so that's truth. We have to be honest. We have to not make mistakes. And if we make a mistake, it has to be corrected by replacing it with the correct thing. We have to have the right motive. And we have to keep on track. We have to monitor what we're doing. We should keep track of how we're spending our time so that we are being productive. Are we helping the atmosphere, or are we harming it? Are we wasting our life with frivolities? Are we being frivolous about everything? Or are we trying to be constructive? Truth is going to be constructive. Frivolous activities are not constructive. That's not truth. That's a lie. That's a lie about man. It's making man a sinner. Unstructured. Okay, and the last one is love. Love is the plan and design of everything. Nothing will work if you don't have love in it. You can memorize this whole system. The whole system, you can memorize it. Won't mean a thing if you don't have love. There can be no healing without love, because love is an integral part of it. Love is required in every one of the synonymous terms for God. You have to have love when you're doing something creative. You have to think about love when you think about capacity or capability or facility. Anything that has to do with mind has to be with love. Spirit has to be with love. The spiritual senses have to be with love. Principle has to be with love. Life has to be with love. Truth has to be with love. Love means you're nurturing it to perfection. So love is the plan and design, because the nurturing of each of the qualities needs to be comprehensively and thoroughly exercised in our daily thought, speech, and action. I mean, we don't want to do things ignorantly. That's the opposite of intelligence. We don't want to live our life in stupidity. We want to nurture the qualities of God. That's how love is a part of life. That's how love is a part of mind. Love is a part of spirit, because spirit is substance, and we want to nurture the qualities of spirit, not the qualities of matter. Well, I like to think of quality as being quality, and to me, something that is defective is not quality. So to me, poor quality are two words that are like an oxymoron, like Mary Baker Eddy says, mortal mind is. Because mind is not mortal, mind is immortal. Quality means that it's good. It's a good quality. So there can be no such thing as a bad quality, in my view, because I don't use the word quality. It's an absence of quality if it's a poor quality. It's not a bad quality, it's an absence of quality. Because quality in itself is a good word, a positive word, a spiritual word. So when we're thinking about any problem, whether it's people coming across the border or whether it's anything else that has to do with anything whatsoever, then we can utilize the system along the lines that I've been mentioning in this recording. And if there are people involved, we've got to depersonalize how we discuss it or think about it. And we have to think about man. For example, if it's a person, if it's an individual, think about the word man. What is man? Man is not a woman or a man or a child or an adult. Man is a generic number, a generic name covering all humanity. If it's considered a human, it's a man. Now, obviously, if you're talking about a cat or a dog or a horse or a monkey or whatever, then it's not a man. It's whatever it is. If it's a horse, it's a horse. So we could think about generic horse. Generic horse is not a horse that has a name and a face, but if we get well enough embedded in consciousness that we are talking about and dealing with a generic horse, then we take personality out of the situation. And that's what we need to do. We cannot focus on God's qualities and be thinking about a person. If that individual is in thought, then we don't have to do anything else about mentioning a name or thinking about a name. We think about the qualities of God, include everything that is good and excludes everything that's not good. We want to think about things that are God-like and not about humans, because humans are sinful. Humanity cannot be relied upon, because the moment that we think about humanity, we're thinking about good and evil. We're trying to mix it. Humanity is always separated from God. We have to think about the spiritual man, which is never separated from God. And if we think about the spiritual man that is never separated from God, that will reflect into the experience of humanity. And it will uplift all of humanity, because it will be reflected out into the universe of thought. It's not going to be confined to an individual. Jesus didn't confine his thought to an individual. He was reflecting his goodness out into humanity. That's why we can tune in to the thoughts of Christ Jesus. We can tune in to the qualities of Christ Jesus. I've had people that have talked to me about somebody they lost because they passed on. And my thought to them, and which I've verbalized to them, is, did you see anything good in that individual? And obviously they have to say yes, or they wouldn't be lamenting their passing. So I said, well, why don't you make a list of everything that you can think of that was a wonderful quality about that individual? Don't think about the individual, think about the quality or the activity that they were involved in, that they did really something great. They helped other people in some way, or they improved the profits of a business, which means that they were being successful, right? Or they were able to get rid of wasteful expenses. How about the family budget? Were they able to manage that properly? Mary Baker Eddy wrote a letter to one of her students, and she said, are you, it was on vision, and it's in the index for Mary Baker Eddy under articles. And she said, are you able to focus no matter what comes your way? She had a meeting with one of her students one time, and she asked him, what do you think about, or what do you do if you see a stray dog or some disabled person or whatever? He didn't know how to answer. So she said, are you a Christian Scientist? So then she knew, or he knew, what she was referring to. He knew that as a Christian Scientist, we should be seeing the perfect man. We can't be seeing a dog that is stray, which means that they have no home, or they have no reliable, consistent source of food and shelter. He knew what he should be doing as a Christian Scientist, and he wasn't doing it. So he said, no, Mrs. Eddy, I'm not a Christian Scientist. We all need to be praying ceaselessly. And what does that mean? It means that we are thinking about God and his qualities and how they are sheltering everyone. They're sheltering these illegal immigrants that are pushing their way through the border, or coming under invitation by a corrupt administration. We got to be thinking about man is always in the right place. We got to be thinking about they cannot lack food, shelter, and clothing where they came from. Obviously, the right thing to do is for them to try to make a difference in the place where they came from. That's their country. They should try to get together and improve their country, if they think it's no good. Mary Baker Eddy said, don't get involved in politics. You know, she had students that they were so disgusted with what the government was doing that they wanted to go to Washington, D.C. and make a stink about it. She said, don't get involved. Don't go there. She said, do your work mentally. That's going to make the change. Not going there as a physical human and trying to force change. She says, do it mentally. Just like when they had, you know, onerous weather, she would have two or three of them work on the weather. And storms would disappear before they got to her house. We have to get rid of the weather, the bad weather in our consciousness. We got to get rid of the bad thought about illegal immigrants. Get our thought off of illegal immigrants. It's now, well, I've known this for many years because I had a friend that was dealing, he had a large area that he was in charge of all the customs and all the people coming across the border and so forth. And he told me, I asked him, I said, well, how did you find it? He was located in another area away from the border, but he was assigned to a special project at the border because it was becoming such a problem. And this is when Trump first took over as president. So he said, well, here's the deal. He said, you can solve the border when you get rid of the corruption at the border. He says, the cartels are in control of the border. And the Border Patrol on the U.S. side are in control of the border. So the cartels pay them money to let people come across. And the cartels charge money to the people that want to go across illegally. He said, until you get rid of the corruption, you're not going to get rid of the problem with the border. The same of everything with humanity. We get rid of corruption, we've solved the problem. If we get rid of corruption in our consciousness, we solve the problem with whatever problem that we are facing. Corruption means anything ungodlike. All we have to do is get rid of the corruption. Are we thinking corruptly about the individuals? Then get your thought off of the individual, just like Mary Baker Eddy tells us to do, and focus on qualities. Focus on God and the real man, the image and likeness of God, as described in Genesis chapter 1 up through verse 3 of chapter 2. Don't think about verse 4 in Genesis chapter 2 or verse 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9. All that is the incorrect view of chapter 1. So we have to reverse anything that is in chapter 2 in our thought, and we have to affirm what is in chapter 1. It's like everything else in the system of divine metaphysics. We have to translate, which is the Christ, which is what Jesus did. We have to be the Christ ourselves. We have to have the Christ as our consciousness. We have to have godlike qualities be the only thing in our consciousness. If we think spiritually about mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, about the border problem or any other problem, how about child trafficking? Same thing. We can heal the winds of evil in child trafficking. We can heal anything, anything whatsoever. We can heal a corrupt government. They will resign or they will, you know, something else will solve the problem about them. They will no longer be there where they have any opportunity to reflect corruption on the innocent population of America. Period. All we have to do is use the system of divine metaphysics in the manner that I've mentioned here, and you can make it your own. In fact, that is all of these treatments that are offered by Mary Baker Eddy Institute are to encourage each individual to be doing what we are giving you examples for. One of the greatest healers of all time next to Mary Baker Eddy is a gentleman by the name of Frederick L. Rawson, R-A-W-S-O-N. He's one of our authors. We have over 90 authors. He's one of them. He had phenomenal success. In fact, he discovered how to do retroactive healing, where the healing would take effect prior to him even being advised that somebody wanted help. It would take effect from the moment the individual decided that they were willing to give up on material remedies and they were going to seek spiritual solutions. At that moment is when the healing would be effective. It could have been hours, could be days, could be weeks. Prior to him even knowing about the problem. Mr. Winslow, another very, very fine practitioner, he's one of our authors, he got a wire from somebody. This was back before they had international telephone service. And I don't know, probably 1930 or 35 maybe. And he got a wire from somebody, Western Union Telegram, and it said, 6 treatments, please. He didn't know who the guy was, where he was located. He didn't know what the problem was, how long they had had the problem. He knew nothing, except that the guy was seeking 6 treatments. How did he approach it? How did he approach it? How would you approach it? Well, I'll tell you how he approached it. He said, the only way I can do any good to anybody is to live like the Christ. In everything I think, say, and do, I must focus on perfection. I must focus on God-like activities. And that will hopefully be going out into the atmosphere of thought, and these people are receptive, whatever it is their problem, they will be receptive to it because they're seeking. They will be receptive to it, and they will benefit from it. It's the only thing he could think about doing. That's what he did. And that was the result. They were receptive to it. The healing came about. And it wasn't until sometime, I didn't tell you, but he got a second telegram. He said, 6 more treatments, please. Didn't say why or anything. And it was some months, and so he did 6 more. And it was some time later that he actually had contact with the people and then got their name and their, well, I don't know, maybe the name was on the telegram, but didn't mean anything to them. They were from another country. They were from South America. He was in America. So he found out what the deal was, and that is that an individual was insane. And after the 6 treatments, the individual was healed. But the people around him would not accept it. They would not believe he was healed. So the second 6 treatments were to work on to see the solution that the people would recognize that this insane person was healed. How about that for a true story? I mean, this is unbelievable, but this is exactly what happened. Because the truth was reflected out into the atmosphere of thought. And when it was reflected out into the atmosphere of thought, it's available for anyone to benefit from it. If they are receptive to the truth, they will benefit from healings that other people already had that overcame the problem that they're trying to find a solution for. Period. That's how it works. It has been said, and I believe it totally, that we could hear the voice of Christ Jesus if we were tuned in closely enough to how he lived his life. You know, he reappeared with 2 other people when he took Peter, John, and James up the mountain. Yeah, he was transfigured. He was standing beside of 2 people that were had been in existence a long time before that. You know, we can tune into anything because all sound is in the atmosphere forever. The only reason we can't hear it is we're not tuned into it. Or we have something blocking our sound. In fact, this is what a good Christian Scientist does. If somebody comes, a practitioner, if somebody comes to them seeking assistance, they basically are able to see what the individual is thinking if their motive is to help the individual, not to be nosy, but to help the individual so that the thing that is blocking them having healing is revealed to the practitioner. Now, I don't have any suggestion on who you would go to that would be advanced enough to do that, and we don't offer healing services here. But anyway, that's exactly what good practitioners can do. They can see inside the thought of the individual enough so that they can tell what is blocking or causing the problem so that they can address the problem. Okay? Now, I want to bring up two other things. Well, one I've already talked about, and that is the reflection. In other words, any thought we have is reflected out into the atmosphere. If it's a good thought, it's a positive, constructive thing. If it's a bad thought, it's a negative thing. But that affects everybody that is passive. Now, we have to be active in order to protect ourselves from negative thoughts. You know, there was a belief that there was a pandemic. It's now discovered that that whole thing was a fraud, that there was no pandemic. There was no virus-killing pandemic, period. And the experts in the field of medicine have been preaching that for a long time, that there never was a killing virus pandemic. Okay? And all of a sudden, there wasn't any other problem in the whole world besides the pandemic. Because what they did is they relabeled every problem that people had. If it was a broken arm, they called it that it was a COVID. Yeah, that's it. So the COVID thing went skyrocketing and all other diseases disappeared because they just relabeled it. That's what we have to do. We have to relabel any problem. Get rid of the personality, get rid of the identity of the problem, and see the perfect man. That's basically what our job is. That's basically what Jesus did. If he would have believed Lazarus was dead, and this is from Mary Baker Eddy, he could have never healed him. If he saw Tabitha was dead, he could have never healed her. If he saw the blind man blind, he could have never healed him. In other words, the fountain can rise no higher than its source. Our source has to be above the problem. Einstein said, you cannot solve a problem if your thinking is on the same level as where the problem appeared. And he also said, never stop your curiosity about the holiness. In other words, he's saying, hey, pursue God. What is God? What is it all about? What is the goodness in the world? Where did it come from? How do we have such beautiful things in the sky? You know, he talked about all these kind of things. We have he's listed as one of our authors, and we've got quite a few things on his thoughts about Mary Baker Eddy and Christian Science. You know, he flat out said, he says, bless thou, and that's a capital T, like he was calling Mary Baker Eddy God. He said, bless thou, because all that is in this book. All that is. In other words, the only reality that exists is in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Yeah, that's on our website. In fact, that's, I believe, in the header, which means it's on every page of the website. Hundreds and hundreds of pages, if not thousands of pages we have, and that's at the top of every single page. Barton, Claire Barton, another one. She was the one that started the Red Cross in America. And she had a tremendous respect for Mary Baker Eddy. Dale Carnegie said she's one of the finest women that ever lived. Okay, so the last thing I want to mention is gratitude. Now, the Bible says that we should be tithing 10%. Now, you can interpret it any way you want to. I think a good way to interpret it is 10% of your efforts. All efforts. That would include time. That would include thinking. It would include everything. Now, how much you want to give in money is an individual thing. But, you know, if you're healed, think about what you would pay a doctor for that. You know, it could be hundreds of thousands or millions. How many of you are generous in giving to something that has been good for you? How do you tip if you're at a restaurant? How do you tip if you're at the grocery store and there's a bagger there that's maybe a young boy or girl or an elderly person that's retired that is helping to bag to earn some money? Are you generous with them? How about if they take your groceries to the car? Are you a big tipper or stingy? There's a lots of ways to give. There's lots of ways to tithe. I'm not suggesting you give 10% of your gross income to Mary Baker Eddy Institute, although we certainly would be grateful. But there's many ways to give. And if you're not giving and you're not getting healing, think about how they are connected. You're not probably going to get healing if you're not tithing. And whether you get healing when you are tithing depends on other factors. Are you doing it just to try to get something for nothing? Or think you're paying for it by tithing? Well, that's a false sense of giving. You need to give because you want to be giving, not because you think you're going to get something back. Our duty is not to get something back from what we give. Our duty is to give. Give. Jesus gave his life. Our duty is to give. Are we doing it? We should be giving in thought, speech, and action. Every thought should be giving the benefit of the doubt to who we're thinking about. Every speech should be giving the benefit of the doubt of who we're talking about. Every action should be giving the benefit of the doubt. Going the extra mile. Going the extra mile in everything we're doing. In our job, we should be giving more than what is expected of us. In everything, in our marriage, if we're married, in our family, in our business associates, in everything we're involved in, we should be giving more than what is expected. Many ways to tithe. And if we're not tithing, we're probably limiting our progress. I would almost guarantee it. We're probably limiting our progress if we're not tithing. Because if we're not giving, don't ever expect to receive. You see, you receive automatically if you give. Automatically. It's automatic. I don't know when it will be. I don't know in what form it will be. But I can tell you one thing. If you give, you will receive. Unless you're giving for the purpose of receiving. If you're trying to bribe somebody or con somebody or flatter somebody, everything has to be cultivating the truth in what you're doing. If you're cultivating the truth in what you're doing, then you're giving because it's a godlike quality. And you're not giving to get something back. The most important thing we can remember is that there is nothing above God. In the definition of God on page 475, Mary Baker Eddy states that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Think about those four words. Incorporeal means the Word. Divine means the Christ. Supreme means Christianity. Infinite means science. Those very important words. Most people gloss over them and don't even know that they relate to the word Christ, Christianity, and science. But they are directly related to it. Absolutely directly related to it. So, we got to remember that God is all in all. and there is nothing but God. Mr. Rawson healed a man that had a load of rocks dumped on top of him. He was underneath the load of rocks. Mr. Rawson happened to see it. He said, there is nothing but God. And he knew what it meant. He understood it. He had the conviction. And the man jumped out through the pile of rocks like a rocket. Totally unscratched, unscathed, perfect condition. So if we're going to remember only one thing that is very short and easy to remember, that's it. There is nothing but God. Five words. So remember that, and you will definitely improve your life. Amen.